sermons, and Pastor Rick is also going to take on a bigger role while Pastor Leon's gone on his sabbatical. So, sure, let's get going. I really liked the Easter series that Pastor Leon had done, and so that's why this one that I chose really deals with, as you can see, the meat of the message is going to be in John 3, verse 16, as we take it apart this morning. So our scripture this morning is from John 3, verses 1 to 21, and you can either follow along in your Bibles, or you can follow along on the screen. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. O God, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear what you are saying to us today. Amen. This sermon has been prepared by Reverend Mark Verbruggen from Sioux Center, Iowa. How many of you are Dort people? Yeah, Sioux Center, yeah. All right. "For God so loved." Contained in our scripture reading today are the words of John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Of all the words of all the books in the Bible, these are probably some of the most well-known words. It seems that you only have to hold up a sign with the words John 3, 16, and we've seen them at sporting events, and most people will know what you mean. You cannot do that with any other Bible texts. A sign that says Isaiah 3:16 or 2 Timothy 3:16 would not have the same effect because people will not know what the sign means. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Isaiah 3:16. By the way, it says, "The women of Zion are haughty, walking along with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, tripping along with mincing steps, with ornaments jingling on their ankles." Yeah, it doesn't have the same kind of gospel proclamation as our text from John. On the other hand, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." What's the difference? The context of a passage makes all the difference for the meaning of the passage. The Bible must be read carefully and responsibly. The context, what's going on before, and after a particular verse makes all the difference for our understanding of that verse. Today, we're going to look at both the context and the actual meaning of John 3:16. The story around the text is about a Pharisee named Nicodemus who visits Jesus in the night. It begins with his introduction, and in verse 2, and in verse 2, he does not so much ask Jesus a question as he makes a statement about him. The Pharisee says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." Why does Nicodemus say these words to Jesus? What's the real motivation for his late night visit and overly flattering words to the Lord? He calls Jesus a rabbi, which is a title of respect. He says he knows that Jesus is a teacher from God, which is not an unkind word. He acknowledges that Jesus has been performing miraculous signs, which means he is not unfamiliar with God's ministry, with Jesus' ministry so far. What's the purpose? What does Nicodemus want? We could accept his words at face value and just hear them as kind words spoken by a first century man who happened to like what he saw when he looked at Jesus. However, that would violate the context of the story. We know that there is something more behind his words in verse 2, because Jesus does not say thank you to Nicodemus in verse 3. He doesn't say thanks. Instead, the Lord says, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." You want to speak about the things of God and the people who come from God? Fine, says Jesus. But do you realize that unless you are born again, unless you are converted to the truth, you're a blabbering fool? Don't misunderstand me. Jesus is not being mean-spirited or cynical toward Nicodemus, but he's zeroing in on the man's spiritual condition. To speak about Jesus Christ in truth, to know him as the Word made flesh, the Son of God, is more than giving some cheap lip service to him about being a great teacher who seems to have God on his side. At the heart of Nicodemus' statement in verse 2 and Jesus' response in verse 3 is the question, who is Jesus? The answer to that question makes all the difference. If you get this answer wrong, you kind of get everything else wrong. Who is Jesus? That's what Nicodemus is really asking. How a person answers that question depends on whether or not they are born again. Are you born again? Do you really know who Jesus is? The Holy Spirit, who breathes life into the Word of God, is putting this question in front of us today. Before we get to the well-known words of John 3:16, there is in verses 4 to 15 a conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus about what it means to be born again by water and the Spirit. But first, Nicodemus makes a rather silly statement about not being able to enter the mother's womb for a second time. So how can a person be born again? Jesus is patient, and he says, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." To understand what Jesus means by water and Spirit, we need to know that both of these images are rooted in Old Testament language and story. Nicodemus is a member of the religious establishment, the good old Pharisees. This means that he should be very familiar with God's word. Jesus says to him, "You're Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things?" For that matter, do we know what Jesus means when he says that a person must be born again of water and the Spirit? We should. Simply put, it means that we need a new life. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, get a life. We must be born again into something wholly new from what we once were. As the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 1, "As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins." To be born again, we need to know what sin makes us dead to God and the kingdom. Those who are dead cannot make themselves alive again. If we are to be born again, it will be by the grace of God who comes to us by his Holy Spirit and gives us new life. In John 3, Jesus speaks of water and the Spirit. So we're going to take a look at them both briefly. In the Old Testament, the Spirit is the one who brings life to the creation. We see this in the creation of Adam in Genesis 2, when God breathes the Spirit of life into him. Psalm 104, verse 30 says, "When you send your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." The prophet Joel speaks of a future outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will bring new life to God's people. The Spirit brings life. As for water, in the Old Testament, water is a sign of cleansing and rebirth. The Israelites passed through the Red Sea on their way to the Promised Land. This was seen as a kind of baptism by which they were born again. Water cleanses the priests who serve in the temple. In Ezekiel 36:25-27, the prophet brings water and spirit together when he says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you." New life comes from above. Being born of water and spirit is God's work in us. Again, are you born again? Do you have new life from God? The only way to know is to ask yourself the question, who really is Jesus? Jesus concludes his conversation with Nicodemus by drawing attention to the work he will do on the cross. He says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." This conclusion in the conversation then sets up the context for the well-known words of John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 17 echoes and confirms the words, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Do you believe it? Only those who are born again will have the faith to hear the grace of God spoken in those two verses. Jesus doesn't need our flattery. He did not need Nicodemus to tell him that he was a great teacher and that he sure represented God real well. Apart from the grace that makes us born again by water and the Spirit, we're dead in our sins. But the good news of the Bible is that today is a day of grace. Today we too can repent of our sins and turn to Christ for a new life. And we're reminded of that during our past Easter season. So let's consider carefully in full context what John 3:16 says. And this is where I'll ask Joy to make sure 3:16 is up there, because we're going to break it down bit by bit. The evangelist says, "For God so loved the world." The very first two words, "for God," tells us that the gospel begins in the heart of God who loves the world and the people he made in his image. God loves the world, which means that he loves the people of the world and he desires that they turn to him. The word for love in this verse refers to sacrificial love. This is the love that gives of itself for another. And this is exactly what the next part of the verse says. "For God so loved the world that he gave." God gives of himself for the world. God is not an impersonal deity, a theological abstract like a statue or an idol. The sovereign God of heaven and earth is a God who sees and hears and acts. The God who loves is the God who gives. And what does God give? The greatest gift of all. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." There is only one eternal Son of God. There is only one who was begotten from the Father. There is only one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God has given him to the world. Why has God given Jesus? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish." God loves. God gives. We believe. This is in order that we will not perish. By nature, we're all perishing. By nature, we're objects of God's wrath because we are, whether or not we want to admit it, we're all sinners. By nature, we have nothing to look forward to but condemnation. However, the gospel proclaims a different story. The gospel says you do not have to be who you are by nature. God has loved you from eternity. God has given you his only begotten Son. You do not perish if you believe in him. Who's Jesus? That's the ultimate contextual question, and John 16 tells us the truth. Jesus is the one and only Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. It then proclaims God's grace, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves. God gives. We believe. We do not perish. We have eternal life. What begins in the heart of God overflows into new life for the repentant sinner. By grace, you are invited to believe. By faith, you will. To be born again by the water and the Spirit is to receive grace and the gift of faith. The reason Nicodemus really went to Jesus was to find an answer to the most important question: who is Jesus? So why are you in church today? Tradition? Oh, maybe your parents dragged you here? You were assigned to come? There may be a number of reasons why we find ourselves together on this day. However, if you've come here to flatter God with some pious and nice words or some singing, you should have saved your time, your breath, and your money. If you've already tuned out the gospel proclamation, then don't be too sure you are not still on the path that leads to condemnation. In context, John 3:16 drives us to consider the burning question in all of our hearts: who's Jesus? Only a fool will try and flatter God with the words of our text and not consider what they mean. You see, within the loving and triune community of God Himself, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God doesn't need you. Jesus did not need the nice words spoken to Him by Nicodemus. God doesn't need you, but in His grace, He chooses to need you. He chooses to send His one and only Son so that you may have fellowship with Him. To know this grace of God, you need to know Jesus, and to know Jesus, you must be born again. And when you know Jesus, you're not going to stay the same. You will know the one and only hope of the world. Your worldview will enlarge, and you will love what God loves, and God loves the world. It's a demanding gospel that we hear in John 3:16. Love so amazing and so divine demands your soul, your life, your all. Nicodemus received much more than he expected on that night that he visited Jesus. We know from later accounts of him in this gospel that he became a follower of Christ. John tells us his story that we too might believe and follow Jesus, the one who came from the Father full of grace and truth, his calling. His own will answer and follow. Let's pray.